us pray together to call it for the day. Oh God, you have commanded us to love you above all things, and our neighbors as ourselves. Grant us the Spirit to think and do what is pleasing in your sight, that our faith in you may never waver, and our love for one another may not falter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Testament reading is from Leviticus, the 19th chapter. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sins of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 1. We will read it responsibly. Blessed is the man
who walks not in the counsel of the wicked,
nor stands in the way of sinners,
nor sits in the seat of the scoffers,
but his delight is in the law of God.
And his law meditates day and night.
He is like a tree
planted by streams of water
that yields its fruit in its season,
and its leaf does not wither.
In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so,
but are like chaff the wind drives away.
Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment,
nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
The epistle is from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian church, the second chapter. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and had been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. Not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you, believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who call calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In honor of the Holy Gospel and Jesus' words, congregation will rise. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, hearing the gospel of our Lord, we will now confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of the sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the world has embraced sin. For the most part, we as Americans have lived in a sheltered environment up until the last 40 years at least. America has been considered a Christian nation. Our laws in this country were in fact modeled around the Ten Commandments because most of our founding fathers were Christian. From the beginning of this country until the 1970s, the majority of Americans were faithful Christians who attended church on a regular basis and understood the Ten Commandments. But unfortunately, this is not the case anymore today. Ever since the historical decision of Roe versus Wade, when our Supreme Court voted to legalize the murder of innocent children, America began down a very dark path of embracing sin and rejecting God's law and God's word. Today, Americans have embraced sin and rejected God's word on an epic level never seen before. We are embracing greed and money worship. Our children are being taught that if you don't have the newest style of clothes or the nicest car or a big house, you're a nobody. We as a country are embracing the temptation of flesh by teaching our children that living with a partner and engaging in marital acts outside of marriage is not a sin, or that love is love no matter who it is, when in fact, God clearly says that it is adultery. We as a country have embraced the murder of innocent children. Many women believe that it's their body. They believe that they have the right to choose whether that precious little life lives or dies. They justify it by saying that it's not a life, but a lump of cells. Even though God has clearly said in the Bible that life begins at conception. The Bible says it's murder. We as a country have justified looting and stealing, claiming that it's okay. Social justice says you can do whatever you want. Social justice tells you that you're not sinning. Take whatever you want. You deserve it. But our God, Jesus Christ, says it's a sin. It is stealing. We as a country have been taught to covet our neighbor's house, boat, car, even our neighbor's wife or husband. Especially if our neighbor is more successful than us. They have the nicer stuff and it's just not fair. It's okay to desire what they have for ourselves. Our children are taught that it's okay to disrespect their parents and teachers or anyone who has authority over them. They are taught that it is not a sin if they do not listen to them. When in fact, God says for us to honor our mother and our fathers. But the worst thing of all is there is a growing number of Americans who have stopped coming to church because they don't believe in God no more. They don't love God with all their hearts and with all their minds and all their souls. They have replaced God with new gods like the NFL or the golf course or the lake or their job or their love of money. See, the truth is the devil is running rampant in America and the rest of the world. He is using our temptations to turn us away from God. He uses our sins to make us feel unworthy. The devil knows that we are sinful people and that we will sin every day for the rest of our lives. Until we eventually die, it will be because of our sin. See, the devil hates us and he will continue to tempt us. He will continue to whisper in our ears lies because we belong to Christ. See, Jesus knows that the devil is going to attack us every day for the rest of our lives because we belong to Christ. The devil does not care about all your unbeliever friends or any of the world, because he already has their souls. Think about that. He already has their souls. This is why he will continue to tempt you. He knows you belong to Christ. He wants your soul, and he will not stop until he gets it. See, the devil tries to convince us to be a part of this world and embrace sin. He's really good at it. The devil has unfortunately convinced some Christian churches that certain sins, they're no longer sins. He's convinced them to embrace them. Even the leader of the largest Christian church in the world has fallen to the lies of the devil. Last week, he said that civil unions are okay. Think about this for a minute. The leader of the largest Christian church in the world just said civil unions are okay and it's not a sin. The devil just convinced him and other Christian churches to reject the word of God. The devil just convinced them to question whether the Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God. This is how good the devil is. Even though the Bible clearly says that it is a sin. See, the devil is powerful, and the influence of the world, it is a constant battle for us to remember that we are to live in the world and not be a part of the world. So the question we need to ask ourselves then is, how do we as God's chosen people live in the world and not become a part of it? How do we as God's chosen people fight off our daily attacks from the devil? The answer is quite simple. It's all because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are baptized. Because of our baptisms, Christ has claimed us as his own. We are his adopted children. Because of our baptisms, our sins die with Christ on the cross. Because of our baptisms, the old Adam in us is washed away. We are born again anew from above. This is when we receive the Holy Spirit. And this is where we receive our faith, to believe in Christ. Because of our baptisms, we have contrition. We repent daily in prayer of our sins. See, when we remember our baptisms by tracing the sign of the cross on our foreheads and on our hearts, we are reminded that we belong to Christ and we are forgiven of our sins. In the gospel today, Christ tells us about the two great commandments. First, to love God with all of our hearts and our soul and all of our mind. See, Christ is telling us that when we come to church on Sunday, we come to receive God's gifts and blessings. When we come to church on Sunday, we repent of our sins and God forgives us of our sins. When we come to church on Sunday, not only to keep God's commandment to love and honor him, but also to hear God's word that strengthens our faith to fight off our daily attacks of the devil. When we come to church on Sunday, we do this so that we can kneel at God's altar, so that our lips can touch his precious body and drink his precious blood, so we can be forgiven of our sins and our faith can be nourished. See, the reality is God loves us so much, he knows the only way we can survive in this world of sin is if we are nourished with his word and the Lord's Supper. The reality is, when Jesus tells us to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, he knows the only way we can have faith to follow his commandment is from the Holy Spirit. We do nothing for our faith. It is a gift from God. Even our love to follow his commandments comes from God. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Even our faith to believe in God comes from God. It is a gift from God. If that's not love, I don't know what is. Because God does everything for us, and we do absolutely nothing. And all God wants us to do in return is to follow the second greatest commandment. Jesus tells us about it in the gospel reading today. That is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Christ tells us when we follow these two commandments, we are following all of God's commandments. Christ makes this clear to us today when he says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So when we follow these two commandments that teach us how to live in this world of sin, that teaches us not to become a part of this world. So when we love our neighbor like we love ourselves, we want to share the love of Christ to them. We want to love and look out for them. But most important, we want to share God's word with them. This world is full of sin and corruption, especially this year. It's been really one of the hardest years any of us have seen, at least for me, in a long time. We have been hit with floods, earthquakes, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, to top it off, a virus that has shut down the world's economy, causing people to lose their job, not knowing where their next meal might come from. People are worried about where the money will come from to pay the rent or their mortgage. And then we have civil unrest. I really cannot think of a better time to love your neighbor like you love yourself and share the word of God with them. If you don't know who your neighbor is, a simple way to remember is called the FRAND principle. Friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Loving our neighbors like ourselves, we are to look out for them, helping them with things they can't do, like maybe bring them food, mow their lawn, shovel the snow, like today, in their driveways. It also means sharing the word of God to them. Because if we truly love them like we love ourselves, then why would we not want them to hear God's word? Why would we not want them to come to church and receive God's blessings and gifts? Why would we not want them to be baptized into God's family with water and word and receive the Holy Spirit? Why would we not want them to be forgiven of their sins? Why would we not want them to kneel at the altar and be nourished with Christ's precious body and drink his blood? Why would we not want them to be raised on the last day and ascend with Christ to heaven and live with him forever in paradise? So this year, as rough as it's been, the holidays are coming up. I challenge you all to love your neighbor as you love yourselves by having those awkward conversations with your friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Tell them that even though they feel alone and lost in this world, Jesus loves them, and he died for them on the cross for their sins. Tell them that Jesus wants them to be saved from sin, death, and the devil, just like you are. I understand how scary this can be. You know, the fear of today's world of offending them, the possibility of them not wanting to talk to you anymore. See, the devil puts these thoughts in your head because he wants you to forget that God has called us in our daily vocations to spread the word of God to all unbelievers. See, God uses us, his chosen people, in our daily vocations, whether you are a plumber, a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, or a janitor. Remember, we are not the ones who will be doing the talking. The Holy Spirit will be. It's really that easy. So the final question we really need to ask ourselves then is, If the Holy Spirit is the one who proclaims the word of God to our friends, relatives, neighbors, and associates, then giving our neighbors the 5 or 10 minutes talk, making possibility of an awkward conversation and the chance of maybe having them not talk to you for a while, is it worth them inheriting the kingdom of God? Is having this conversation worth them hearing Jesus call them by their name on the last day to be raised from the grave? There is nothing in this world more comforting for us as God's chosen people than to know we belong to Jesus, that we will never die, but live forever with him in the kingdom of heaven. So share with them the love of Christ this holiday season, because Jesus really is the gift that keeps on giving. Because there is no greater love in this world than the love Christ has for his creation. And there is no greater peace in the world than knowing you belong to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, that same peace that passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds until Christ returns again in glory. Amen. Congregation, will please rise for the prayer of the church.
Having confidence in our justification by grace through faith, and having access to the Father in Jesus' name, let us turn our hearts in prayer on behalf of ourselves, the church, and all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you have shown your faithfulness by raising up those in every generation who call your church to repentance and renewal. Continue to raise up the voices in our own day who herald the truth of your word and proclaim the faith and purity and truth against all enemies. Lord, in your mercy, everlasting Father, you do not desire the death of the sinner, but want all to come to faith and life in Christ. Raise up faithful pastors who will preach your word without fail and teach the doctrine delivered to the saints, that many may hear and believe the Lord. In your mercy. Merciful Lord, your word has been the light and salvation throughout the ages. Help us to bring your grace to those in darkness and grant them freedom through the forgiveness of their sins. Bless the missionaries serving far and near and the new congregations they establish. In your name, Lord, in your mercy. God of power and might, you have established governments and the order of law for the protection of all people and to preserve the freedom to worship you in spirit and in truth. Grant to Donald, our president, Gary, our governor, the Congress of these United States, and the legislatures of our state wisdom, humility, and integrity, that all may enjoy true justice and protection of life from its conception to its natural end. Lord, in your mercy. Holy and gracious God, your power is revealed chiefly in showing mercy to those in need. Give to the sick healing, to the troubled peace, to the grieving comfort, and to the dying peace. Hear us first on behalf of all those who requested our prayers and those we now name in our hearts before you. According to your gracious promises, grant patience to those in tribulation and trial. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have given great gifts to your people and provided resources to provide for their own needs and for the poor. Bless the agencies and the programs of your church by which your people give aid and support to those in need. Help us to provide gainful employment to all people, that they may enjoy the fruits of their labor and honor with the works of their hands. Lord, in your mercy.
Gracious God, your own Son has set his table amongst us and gives his own flesh and blood to be the bread of heaven that feeds us everlasting life and the cup of salvation, in which our own thirst is satisfied forever. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may commune worthily and in repentance and faith, feast upon his holy sacrament. Bring us to last to that day when all the earth divisions will cease and we will be one people before the altar of the Lord. Until that day, preserve among us your word and sacrament. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O faithful Lord, throughout the ages, you have spoke hope through the prophets until the day when you deliver up your own Son to be our Savior and Redeemer. Bless those who are just learning the gospel and bless with the desire to know, keep your word. Encourage your people to avail themselves of grace and of confession and absolution so that they may forgive one another and live in unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God and Father, we pray to you to grant us all good things that will benefit us in body and soul and prevent anything harmful to us or to our salvation. Teach us to live in contentment with your will and purpose and in the freedom you alone supply to serve you with all your heart and mind and soul. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, thanks for the gift you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ.
disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Thank you.